Listen, people, I don't know how you...
Well, it's 1, 2, 3. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. Oh, excuse me. Are we back online? We are live. This is Bruce Sallon of The Bruce Sallon Show with Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@brucesallon.com. That's Bruce and Sallon, S-A-L-L-A-N.com. That's S like in Sam's, like in Pastor Drew Sam's, our regular and wonderful guest for Teen Rap. Pastor Drew Sams has been the high school pastor at Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village for the last 6 years, and he's also pursuing doctoral work through George Fox Seminary in Portland, Oregon. What did I say? Portland, Oregon? Yes, Portland, Oregon. I didn't know if you know where that is, Pastor Drew.
Never heard of it?
Drew and his wife, Erica, live in Westlake Village, California. Welcome back to the show, Pastor Drew.
Great to be back.
Whoa, I'm buzzing today. It's such an interesting thing to... be in the heart or the heat of the controversy of what's being talked about with Occupy Wall Street. But I got to tell you something that's of equal interest and a little sad to me. I have two very important articles out this week. One is the Occupy Wall Street one, which is getting all the attention. The one that I'm actually 100 times more proud of is for 12most.com, and it's called The 12 Most Important Giveaways to Leave My Boys. And I don't know if in your religion, if in Christianity, that there's such a thing as a living will. Have you ever heard of a living will?
Explain that.
Well, the concept, and again, I'm not even sure it's specific to any religion. The concept of a living will, which I think is so beautiful, is we tend to think in terms of leaving behind our money, our possessions. But a living will is leaving behind our values, what we believe and what we hope for our loved ones, and most specifically, in my case, my boys. So I wrote this column, which is 12 things that I hope that they will use to guide their life. Mm. And it's getting incredibly nice response, but a fraction of the response that the more volatile, provocative Occupy Wall Street piece is getting. And yet, what is more important? This fledgling and more than likely dying movement that will more than likely go nowhere or not. I mean, it might develop into something meaningful. I don't know. It's a little too early to judge. Or the values that we leave our family and our kids and the ones that we teach them while we're alive.
Boy, as you speak about living will, it just reminded me of how, boy, if parents are able to impart that to their kids and their kids' kids and so on and so forth, those are some of the few things in life that aren't affected by market volatility. That no matter what the economy is doing,
sure
you know,
is.
You think, you know, you pass on your inheritance or your life savings, stocks and bonds, those things can come and go, but values, you know, those will weather any storm.
You know, I have a comic book collection and a pretty decent one, not a very valuable one, but a lot of old Marvel comics, and the boys have basically in a loving way been fighting over who's going to get which set of comics. Mm-hmm. So one wants all the X-Men comics, another wants all the Spider-Man. And again, it comes back to this point of really what's more important. And I found when I wrote this column, I really got into it, and it was very hard to ultimately just have 12 so-called values I wanted to leave them. But I eventually got it down to an even 12. And then it got posted just yesterday. And it was only a few days after I'd written it, and I literally was tearing up when I read my own writing. Mm. Because those emotions I care about so much more than the provocative nature of what I've written about Occupy Wall Street. Or the hyperbole and dramatization that's going on both sides' view of this movement. That one made me tear up. This one just gets me kind of giggly on one level, especially the people that castigate me with anonymously. I just find that so hysterical.
Yeah, you know, I spent some time this week reading the comments. It's almost 160 almost, the comments.
No, it's over. It's heading towards 200 now. It's amazing.
Wow. So obviously, as you've been saying, this stirs up so much when you hope that, you know, living will ideas would stir up more. But, boy, it's the world we live in, isn't it? Even off the air, we were talking about how, you know, the idea of internet trolls – come out from under the bridge and try to devour anybody. And this is a topic that they jump on.
I think, though, that people are wise to anyone that criticizes behind anonymity. I don't take it too seriously. And the irony is the vast majority of the comments on the Occupy Wall Street blog on BruceAllen.com are highly respectful. And what's been the most fun is there's one or two of whom that we started kind of really going at each other in the comments. And at the end, we have both recognized that, wow, we're not that far apart. Once you have a dialogue with some degree of respect and you eliminate name calling or overgeneralizing, they're all bad, or I'm all this way because I like capitalism. Once you get past the fact, in a couple cases, I've actually maybe made friendships, or at least virtual friendships, as I call them, the ones that are online, with a couple of people that initially were going at me pretty harsh.
Yeah, there was one I actually watched an interchange, and it'd be so great to even have people watch a healthy interchange between two adults. I think, was it Fitz?
Yes, that's the guy. Brian is his name.
I watching how the two of you interacted, it reminded me of, there's a proverb, I believe it's in Proverbs 27, that says, as iron sharpens iron, so one sharpens another. And you think about, we don't sharpen iron these days as much unless you're an ironsmith or what have you, but this idea of when iron hits iron, there's some sparks might fly, but one iron doesn't completely destroy the other one. What it does is it sharpens each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's a give and take. There's room for each other to be sharpened. And as I watched the two of you interact with one another, it reminded me of that proverb, as iron sharpens iron, so one sharpens another. I think he grew in his understanding of where you were coming from. You did from where he was coming from. And for me, just observing it, there were some insights for me as I learned more about both of your perspectives. It was really great.
I loved it. And in fact, it turns out he and I had actually circled one another in other forums in a less divisive way. And once we realized who we were and that we had done that, it really became so enlightening to both of us. And I believe he's going to be a participant in my dad chats as well. He's a father. He's a caring, giving human being. And we realized that the basic values we both have are the same. Mm. We just were kind of looking at this particular issue from different views. It was really great.
You know, I think that's one thing that I think we've lost in our culture today. From what I understand, as I've read through history, there used to be a really healthy level of respectable debate around different topics. And now it just descends into name-calling. Even we see in politics, people intimidating one another and over-character or stereotyping one another. And I feel like, gosh, we miss out on those healthy debate forums, not only on a national level, but even just across the table with family members.
I blame MTV, frankly. When everything, MTV to me was the beginning of the end of any kind of real dialogue and discourse, because everything became a soundbite and fast cutting. Mm. News has gone that way, of course, and then the internet and Twitter has made it even worse. I don't really blame MTV, but I do see that as a singular change in how film and television was made, and then the natural evolution was reduced to shorter and shorter sound bites. Let's face it, debate doesn't even really exist in a lot of schools anymore or colleges, and it was an incredible skill to learn, because you had to understand both sides if you were going to do a debate.
Exactly.
You had to read the other side. How many people on Occupy Anything have ever read the Wall Street Journal or have ever watched Fox News, which they completely diss as, horrible? I would bet a vast majority have never opened up a Wall Street Journal or watched Fox News other than maybe a tiny soundbite in some kind of YouTube critique of it.
Mm-hmm. And the same way, the Occupy Wall Street critics, I wonder if the vast majority haven't taken the time to listen to where they're coming from. I think that, boy, it's so part of our culture today that we just come in like bulldozers with our thoughts and don't take the time to listen to the other side.
Well, I agree. Believe it or not, Pastor Drew, we are out of time.
Boy,
I do have a news about Smile for Jesse, which, of course, is to me the most important kind of thing we can do, which is help one person, help to repair the world. It looks like we're getting closer. This is going to be a fundraiser that Pastor Drew and Calvary Church and I are going to do to bring a young girl over from from Africa who need some dental work and get it taken care of here, and we'll give everybody an opportunity to participate in this fundraiser to help little 13-year-old Jesse, who is needs some pretty serious dental work, and I'm very excited to do that. Pastor Drew, where can my listeners and readers find you?
Well, I've been blogging at wewillsinganewsong.com.
Excellent, Pastor Drew. As always, a joy and a pleasure. Sorry we rambled a little bit here.
Hey, it was fun,
it
as always.
Always is. Thank you so much. It's time for another break. You can tweet me at Bruce Allen or email me at bruce@brucesallen.com. This is the Bruce Allen Show with Dad's Point of View. We'll be back with Dabney Port for the Women's Room.
Try to keep my money and my religion too. Try to keep on working. Try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name, and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep my heroes.